Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to share a new series with you. If you have your Bible, you can go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at several scriptures in the book of Proverbs in just a second. But as I was praying about it, you know, sometimes I had a visit with a doctor the other day and just a general checkup. And so I was talking to him. He said, and so he knows what I do. And so he says, well, how do you put your sermons together? And then he says, now, how long have you done this? I said, for a while, you know. And then he says, well, do you teach the same things or whatever? I said, well, there's different topics. I said, but I rarely ever teach the same message over. I said, if I do, it always gets upgraded, right? You know, when you have those old programs that says upgrade now, well, your sermon's always upgraded because you're wiser, you're smarter. God gives you different things as you grow in the word and different things like that. And I said, but, you know, the two main things that stands out is that as a shepherd, you know what the sheep need, right? So then you know and plus you have the same needs, right? And so then you can minister out of that, but also you have a big help and his name is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit can direct us and guide us in terms of the things that he wants to deposit. And so I always pray, and Pastor Samantha, we always pray about what the Lord would have us share, you know, in the messages and things like that. But the thing that he put on our heart was choosing the right path. And so we're going to be talking about that for a couple of weeks, and that's following God's path. And I'm very excited about that because, you know, I was thinking about the word path, and really what started me on this journey was that the Lord deposited that thought into my mind, choosing the right path. And so, but then I got to thinking about the word path, and so I just looked it up. And so in the New King James Bible, it's mentioned 20-some times the word path. The word pass with an S is mentioned 40-some times, okay? And all that really means is God has a lot to say about our path. And the path that we should take, and the right path. Let me say it like this. What happens when we choose the wrong path? And what happens when we choose the right path? And then the fact that God gives us a choice, and then God will direct us in the right path, but we have to follow, right? So we'll get into a lot of principles that would be helpful along that line. But as I was thinking about it, you know, when I was a kid, your parents said, hey, we're going to go somewhere. So what'd you do? My parents had this blue station wagon. Y'all remember station wagons, right? Had this blue station wagon, right? And so we'd all pile in, my brother and two sisters. So we'd jump in the car and they said, we're going over here. But when we jumped in the car, not once did I ever think about how we're going to get there. Because mom and dad is driving, right? So I didn't think about it. You just got in the car. And you're just playing, cutting up, looking outside, doing whatever, turn on the radio, play the music, you know, today, play with your phones, right? But I didn't think about directions. I didn't think about the path to take. But as soon as I got my driver's license, I started thinking about the path, right? Because I had to get myself now from A to B or from this place to that place, and I had to follow a path or directions that was taking me there. Right. And so we could say like this, when I was younger, I didn't think about it. But then when I got older, I started thinking about the path that I need to take because I'm driving. And the thing is that sometimes we relate this to following God's plan to our life. Sometimes we can start out in life and we don't even know what we're doing. But at some time, we need to grow up and realize that we got to follow his plan and purpose for our life. And we got to start driving our own car in the right direction. And he gives us a car to drive called this life. And he gives us the ability to make choices concerning the direction that we're going to follow. And if we choose his way, it's not always going to be easy, but it's the place of the greatest level of peace we're ever going to experience, the greatest level of fulfillment we're ever going to experience, and the greatest level of blessing that we're ever going to experience. But we have to follow his way. Amen. And so we're talking about the path. Everybody say the path. And when we talk about the path, you know, I think about now today, you know, most of us use these things when we want to go somewhere. You know, we got Apple Maps. And it's funny because, you know, you back in the day, for all my younger constituents, in my day, you had to go on the computer and you had to print out directions. And then you took the piece of paper with you where you wanted to go. And if you want to break it down before that, you had to go to the store and buy a map that gave you directions. Everybody say, thank God for upgrades, right? So now on the phones, when you want to go somewhere, you punch in the address, right? And so most of the phone, I use Apple Maps most of the time. So when you go on Apple Maps and you, how many use Apple Maps? How many use Google? How many use both? Okay, so got a mix. Okay. So on Apple Maps, when you put in the address, many times what it does, it'll give you different what? Routes. So we can say like this, there's different paths that you can take. Okay. Now we'll tell you one of them is highlighted because it's saying that's the quickest route with the least amount of problems. Okay. Now I don't know about you, but that's the route I want. I've never in my life say, ooh, I want the longest route. If you see that red line solid, you're like, I don't want to go that way. Right? Well, isn't it funny that sometimes we do that on the phone while we're traveling somewhere, but then when it comes to living life, sometimes we pick that red path. Well, God wants to direct us so we can choose the best way, right? His way that leads to the greatest blessing, right? And so as we look at this, and also with those phones, is that it can show me different routes and the best route, but it doesn't drive for me. I have to decide the route that I'm going to take, right? And all of us get to decide the path that we're going to take in our spiritual life, in our relationships, in our career, the type of character that we're going to have. All of us decide and make decisions that take us down a certain path, right? And those paths have different consequences, different benefits, different challenges, right? But God's path is always best. Everybody say, God's path is always best. Amen. And so we have help as we go through these paths because the Word of God will give light to our path. So that means it'll show us the way to go. And then we have the Spirit of God that lives in us that will also guide us. Because there's been times, you know, you're getting ready to make a decision. You just have a check on the inside. I don't need to do that. Right? Or I need to do this. That's God leading you to take the right path. And so in one of our sessions, we'll talk about keys to following that path. How do I know that God has a path for me, but how do I find that path? We'll talk about some of that as well. But I encourage you to write these down. We're not going to take time to turn to each one, but I wanted you to see just a few of the verses, and then we're going to take the principle that is communicating to us so that we can incorporate it into our life. But I want you to see just the places that the Bible talks about your path or paths, and then notice what it says about that path, choosing that path, the benefits and consequences of each one. So the first one, and probably one of the more familiar ones, is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And again, we'll have these up for you, and you can just write them down. But notice all of these will use the word path or paths, okay? Notice Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You know, that kind of implies that we can trust the Lord a little bit and then lean on our own understanding. So he's saying, don't do that. Trust me fully. Don't rely on yourself. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now notice he said, in all your ways. He didn't say in the hard places or the hard situations. You know, isn't it amazing that sometimes we do everything by ourselves, you know, without God's help until we run into something we can't do by ourselves? But then he says, acknowledge him in all your ways. So in other words, learn to rely on him when you don't think you need to. right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Notice this, and he shall direct your path. One of the greatest truths that you can get this morning is the fact that God wants to direct your path. He loves you. He cares for you. He's not trying to hide the path. He wants to reveal the path because he wants you to follow his path, because his path is the path that leads to greatest fulfillment, peace, and blessing. And notice, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Notice he didn't say he would think about it. He said he shall. There's not a greater assertion you can use than the word shall. He shall direct your path. Amen. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for directing my path. Now, what's the principle that we can extract? Well, number one, God wants to direct our path, right? We can clearly see that. But then for him to direct our path, we got to do a couple of things. We got to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all of our ways acknowledge him. Then he will direct our path. Sometimes we don't want to trust. Sometimes we want to do our way. And then sometimes we just simply don't ask. Okay, but all those are prerequisites to him directing our path. Now, he wants to, and it's really not that hard. I'm just going to trust God. I think God is one of the characteristics of God is he's omniscient. That means he knows everything. So that means that he knows the path that I need to take that's best for me, right? Sometimes I may not know the best path in the moment, but God always knows the best path. And he says, if you seek me, then I'll guide you and I'll direct you. And then let's look at Psalms 16, verse 11. I like this one. It says, Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So what do we see here? There's a path that brings life. You will show me the paths of life. So there's a path that I can take that will produce life. And then not only that, it says it will produce life, and the path brings his presence, the fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. You know, there's some paths that we can take that's going to produce God's presence, God's benefits, and God's blessings. And then there's some other paths that's not going to produce those things, right? And so he's saying, he will, and then he says again, he will show you, you will show me the path of life. So the writer had confidence that God was going to direct him, and we can have confidence too. Psalms 27, verse 11, in the New Living Translation, Psalms 27, verse 11, New Living, it says, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. Everybody say right path. Right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. So what do we see? God's word teaches us how to live, and God will lead us along the right path. Now, being a teacher, my mind starts going when I see stuff like that. So then I think, okay, well, if there's a right path, there's a wrong path, right? And it says, you will make me walk along the right path. Teach me your way, right? And so I want to be on the right path, not the wrong path, okay? I remember one of the worst feelings you have, you know, if you're driving, you've ever been on a long trip. I remember one time we took this trip, and so we're driving in a car, and, you know, you're sitting in this car for a long time, and you're following directions, and then it tells you to take this exit, but you're tired. So, all right, let me just talk about myself. So I missed the exit, and I was tired, and then I'm driving, and this is, you know, before the cell phone that says recalculating, right? And so I'm driving down there, and I'm like, well, I think I'm on the right road. But then as the further you drive, it don't feel like it's right. And then you keep going. And then you realize you've gone 20 miles, you know, and then you finally realize this is wrong. Now, not only have I just wasted the 20 minutes and I've been driving for 4 hours, now I got to drive 20 more minutes to get back to where I was because I took the wrong turn, right? And so it's miserable when we take the wrong path, right? Now, fortunately for God, he helps us get back on track many times without having to backtrack. He can promote us. He's just looking for us to get back on the path as quick as possible. And we'll talk about that too. But notice in Psalms 119, verse 35, New Living, it says, make me walk along the path of your commands. Make me walk along the path of your commands. Notice this, for that is where my happiness is found. Where is my happiness found? Walking along the path of his commands. What does that mean then? The path God wants for me to take is following his word, and that's where my ultimate peace, happiness, and blessings and fulfillment are found. Psalms 119, verse 105. 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word is a light to our path, right? And so his word will show us the right path to take, is what that's communicating. So how can I know his path if I don't know his word? Because his word is a light to our path. So if I want guidance from God concerning the path I need to take, it's found in his word. Notice Proverbs 4, verse 14. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. So in other words, there's a path that leads to destruction, pain, and problems. And do not follow the path of the way of the wicked or the way of the evil. So in other words, there's paths that you can take in life that are wicked and evil. And we see that. You just got to turn on the news, right? People have done things and headed in the wrong path. Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says, but the path of the just, I love this one, is like a shining light that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. Well, the path, what does that mean? The path of the just gets brighter and brighter. I mean, that should be exciting news for us, because when I accepted Christ, I became the righteousness of God in Christ. So that means I'm just. So the Bible says when I'm walking in his path, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. So I can expect for God's favor, more favor every day, more blessing every day, and getting brighter and brighter in my life. Everything doesn't change instantly when you get on the right path, but my life gets brighter and brighter and brighter and better, right, as I follow his plan. And then Proverbs 4. Isn't it amazing how many scriptures it talks about paths? Right? Proverbs 4, verse 26 says, ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Now, again, it says, ponder the path of your feet. What does ponder mean? Well, if we live in Texas, it means a city up north, right? Well, ponder actually means something that we are very careful and thoughtful before making a decision. If we're pondering something, and we're thinking very carefully about what we're doing before we make that decision. So God says, when you put that in context, God says, think very carefully about the path that you're going to take in your life. Think very carefully about the path that you're going to take. Your relationships, your career, the different things that's going on in life. Think about that. And then I threw this last one in for fun. I didn't touch half the scriptures that talk about path or paths, but you can see that God gives us a lot of information, because God loves us so much, and he wants us to be on the right path. And that's why he's given us so much information. He says, I want you to be on my path. I have a path for you. I will guide you in that path. I will lead you in that path. That path is going to cause you to get brighter and brighter, brighter, and things get better and better, right? So follow my path. Now, I threw this one in, like I said, for fun, but in Proverbs chapter 7, the writer is giving wisdom to his son. And that's really what the whole book of Proverbs is about, right? It's communicating. It's a mentoring situation where a father is mentoring his son. And we could say mentoring a daughter or whatever, too. The point is that somebody who has wisdom and has been down the road is imparting something to somebody else, okay? And so in this chapter, it talks about a young man that went by the house of an immoral woman that the Bible calls a seductress. If I was translating it today, I would say, don't go to the hooker's house, right? Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding. Notice this, passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house. Now you read on and it says, he went that way like a bird goes to a trap or an animal goes to the slaughter, right? So the writer is given wisdom, and it's like a mentoring situation where he's trying to help this young man and really, you know, is given wisdom, but is trying to say, look, there's dangers when you take a certain path. There's destructions. That's what and it says is that he went that way like a, you know, animal to the slaughter. Okay. So in other words, he didn't realize all he saw was her, but he didn't recognize the danger, the damage, and the destruction that would be the result of heading in the wrong path. But somebody else who loved him did and warned him and tried to mentor him so that he wouldn't take that path. Okay. So the point is that God places people in our life that will be a mentor to us. And it's important that we listen because they can see things that's going to cause destruction in our life and warn us about things that if we head in this direction, it's going to cause major problems. But they can also tell us, hey, take this, because we can tell you from experience, it's going to be blessing. There's going to be favor. It may not be the easiest route. It may not be the quickest route, but it's going to be the route that you're glad you took in the end. Amen. And so when you look at this, he said that he passed the way to her house. So you got to avoid that way. Everybody say, don't go that way. Right. Or it causes destruction. And so what principle do we learn from that? Well, don't take the path to the hooker's house. Right. There's a right path and there's a wrong path. There's a path that gets brighter and brighter. And there's one that gets darker and darker. There's a path that leads to life and there's a path that leads to destruction. And so let me give you just a few other things that I want to share with you. And we've kind of said some of these principles, but I want to lock them into your mind. And that is, number one, God has a path he wants you to take. That's true for each and every person in this room. God has a path that he wants us to take. We read in our first verse, trust in the Lord with all our heart, and he'll direct your path. So God has a path, and he wants to direct you in that path. And then number two, God gives us a choice. God gives us a free will. See, even in the verse we read about the young man that went the wrong way, you know, he was warned, don't go that way. But he made a decision and a choice to go that way. And so for all of us, God has a path. He'll direct us. But God gives us, God loves us enough that, he could have created us and made us so that we didn't have a choice, right? He created us, so he could have just made us, you're going to do what I say. But he didn't, because love is based on free will. And so the thing is, God created us with a free will, so we have to choose to love God, choose his path for our life. And so when he tells us there, trust in the Lord, I'll direct your path, we have to recognize, hey, God has a path, but God's given me a free will and have to choose the right, make the right choice. God's not a dictator. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He wants relationship with us. He wants us to choose the right path. But we have to make the decision. And you know what? This principle is all through the Word of God. You look at Moses in Deuteronomy, and he told the children of Israel, you know, hey, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And then Joshua said something very similar. When Joshua succeeded after Moses, he led the children of Israel into the promised land. And then right before Joshua dies, he encourages all the people and he gives a commission. And notice what he says in Joshua 24, verse 15. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? So God, he's saying, look, you have a choice. All of us have a choice. Are we going to choose God's path or not? And so when it comes to that, choosing that path, his path is the path of his word. So if I'm going to follow God's path, I have to follow his word. So let me say it another way. If I'm not following the word, I'm not following his path. So like, for instance, let me give you an example. His word gives me relational instruction. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So that means that if I'm going to follow God's path, then I have to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and remembering that God forgave me. Okay? So if I'm going to follow that path, that means I need to be kind. I got to be kind even to Boston Celtics fans. Right? I have to be tenderhearted. I have to be forgiving when they win the championship. Right? I have to be kind. I have to be hard. But let me break it in another area. To coworkers that get on my last nerves. I'm not even going to step on this one, but to my spouse when we're having an intense moment of fellowship. Am I kind? Am I tenderhearted? Am I forgiving or do I hold a grudge? Okay. Then, you know, in Philippians, I believe it's Philippians. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So am I doing that as well? You know, am I in my relationships, am I being selfish? Do I expect everybody to take care of my needs, but I'm not really focused on theirs? Do I think people should look out for what I need, but I'm not looking out for what they need? Am I kind to my family? Am I tenderhearted? Do I forgive? Do I hold a grudge? Am I selfish? Do I see other people and see their worth in God's eyes? Do I look out for the needs of my family? Do I take an interest in their world, or do I care only about them taking an interest in mine? Right? I remember I was talking to a minister, and it was two ministers talking, but how many of you know it's just because as ministers, it was irrelevant because the thing happens with people all the time. So let me just make it easier. I saw two people talking. And so one of them came up and they kind of reconnected, hadn't seen each other. And so one of them, he says, what's going on? And he says, well, you know, and one of them had some challenges. So he says, well, you know, it's been kind of a tough year. I had this. And he wasn't complaining, but he was just kind of saying, you know, I had this challenge. And so he looks at me and he goes, oh, okay, well, that's great. Can you blah, 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 blah? And so at that moment, he realized he didn't care for me. He was just looking for what I could do for him. Okay. Well, how many of you know that's being concerned with your interests, but not the interests of others? Okay. Which is rooted in selfishness. Okay. So then, and how many of you know all of us have to deal with that because that's part of the nature of the flesh? You know, I've not seen one child that you ever had to teach to be selfish. It comes natural because it's part of the fallen nature of the flesh, right? You have to teach kids. I had to teach my kids to give. Not to be selfish, right? And so for us, it's something we have to deal with, right? So you're going to have to deal with your flesh as long as you're living. So somebody said, well, I don't want to pray for me not to be selfish anymore. I'm just like, well, you mean pray that you die? Right? Because it's part of the nature of the flesh. Now, I can grow. I can overcome it. I can be a giving person. But that does not mean that I'm never going to have a temptation not to be selfish. Because it can creep back up on you, right? So we have to recognize that and say, okay, am I thinking about others? Am I putting others ahead of myself? And, you know, God is our example. I mean, boy, did he put us in front of his own needs when he went to the cross. Amen? So God has a path. God gives us a choice. And then number three, we must choose to follow God's path. We have to choose his path. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. So we have to make a decision, and our decisions determine the path that we're going to take. Let me say that again. Our decisions determine the path that we're going to take. Do I walk in love? Do I give? Am I a servant? Right? And, you know, all these things, well, let me just make it real practical. So we can say, you know what? Yeah. When I go to work, I got a coworker. I'm very kind. So how was your day today? Good. You're doing good. You had a good weekend? Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That's great. I come home to my wife. What you want, woman? So I can be kind at work, but do I bring the love home to the people who deserve it the most? Everybody say, that's good preaching, Pastor. Praise the Lord. That's good. All right. How many of you know they deserve our best? Amen? Now, here's another one. His path is not always easy, but it brings the greatest personal fulfillment and the greatest level of favor and blessing. See, God never promised us a problem-free life. He did promise to give us the victory. The Bible says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yea, in all these things, we're more than conquerors, right? He always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't say we're not going to face any challenges. I mean, you know, God told the children of Israel, you know, I've given you the land, but they had to go in and possess it. So there's some opportunities that we have. There's some challenges we're going to face. There's some problems that are going to come against us. There's problems that we face that if we face them with the right attitude and the right perspective when we're on the right path, then God can turn that problem into a promotion. You could use many biblical examples, but just think of Joseph, for instance. Joseph was following, you know, God, and many of his brothers were not. And so they were jealous of him, sold him into slavery. I mean, you know, that's not a good start. But think about his path. He was sold into slavery. Then he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lied on him. He was thrown into prison. He was forgotten in prison. And then finally, he was promoted. Okay? So he was on the right path. It was a difficult path, but because he remained faithful, he didn't turn from the Lord. He didn't complain in the midst of all the stuff he was going through, but he looked to God for his help. He looked to God to be his strength, and God took that problem and turned it into a promotion and used him not only to save lives, but to bless the very people that sold him into slavery to begin with. And here's the powerful thing. They when they realized it was their brother, they were like, oh my gosh, we've sold our brother into slavery, and now he's second in command in the whole nation. And he said, and they were worried, boy, what's he going to do with us? Is he going to get us back? But he wasn't responding based on the flesh. He was responding based on the Spirit of God. And he says, you did it for harm, but God used it to save lives. So God can turn what people try to do to damage you into great blessing that not only brings blessing in your life, because Joseph got promoted to the second in command. He had riches. He had wealth. He had influence. He got blessed, right? And then he was able to save lives as a result of it, because he stayed on the right path, even when it was challenging, even when it was difficult. Now, when I face difficulties, it's important, because there's two times you're going to have problems in your life, only two. When you're doing things that are right and when you're doing things that are wrong. That's only two times. Now, what we have to have the wisdom to know Is it, am I facing this challenge because of something that I did that I need to correct? If that's the case, then I got off the path. But sometimes we can face a test or a challenge or a problem, and we're exactly where we're supposed to be. But it's a test or a problem to try to get us off of where we're supposed to be. Because the Satan just doesn't always use temptation to get us off the right path. Sometimes he uses problems. And see, let me give you a couple of examples. See, sometimes you face storms in life. Well, you use the analogy of storms. Sometimes you have storms that come against you because of something you did wrong. And that's the easiest kind to correct. It's only one word that fixes those problems. Repent. Which means to change. Okay? Good example of that is Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. And every time I say that, I think of the VeggieTales song. Because there's a song that says, Jonah was a prophet. Yeah. But anyway, and so Jonah was a prophet. And so God directed him to go to a heathen nation named Nineveh. And he said, go preach to them. And they're going to repent. And so he says, now Nineveh was a long way away. So he told the prophet, now you're a prophet of God. You're called of God. That's your assignment from God, is to go communicate with people at his direction. So you would think this man would have said, yes, sir. So he says, go over here to Nineveh. So Jonah heard that word, and you know what Jonah did? He went the exact opposite direction. If you look at a map, he went exactly the opposite way. He got as far away from the path as he could possibly get. Right? He got away from it. And then all of a sudden, big storm came. They said, you know, who's the problem? Jonah said, I'm the problem. So they threw him overboard, and he got swallowed by a great fish, whale, whatever. And so how did he get out? Repented. Now, the good news is that when we get off the path, sometimes we might get swallowed by the whale. But if we repent, God can get us back on track. He got Jonah back on track, right? Now, but the problem, the whole thing I want you to see there is that whole thing, if Jonah would never have been in the belly of the whale if he hadn't disobeyed God. So there's some problems that we face that can be averted if we stay on the right path. But some problems come into existence because of the path that we choose. Okay? That's number one. Now, another storm came when Jesus was preaching, and he said, let's go to the other side. So he got into a boat. He was tired from preaching. So he took a nap. And then the Bible says a storm came, okay, which was symbolic of a problem, test, trial. And it was so severe. Now, we don't really get the magnitude because we just read the story. But there was four dudes on that boat with Jesus that were professional fishermen. They had been in many storms on the water. But this storm scared them so bad that they woke Jesus up. I'm talking about dudes that have been on storms in a boat. But they were so scared. They said, don't you care that we're going to die? So Jesus, I can see Jesus wake up. You know how we are after we've been taking a good nap. And he gets up, he walks up to the front, rebukes the wind, rebukes the storm. The Bible says a great calm came. Then he looks at his disciples and said, where's your faith? Now, it doesn't say this, but I think he probably went back and finished his nap. Right? Well, obviously, Jesus didn't do anything wrong that created that storm. But storms come to prevent us, to get us off track, or to prevent us from going where God wants us to go. So sometimes they come because we did something wrong. Sometimes they come because we did something right. Now, here's the thing. You get out of those storms differently. See, you get out of demonic storms by rebuking the source of the storm, which is the devil. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Jesus did not repent because there was nothing to repent for. The source was the enemy. So he rebuked the wind and the waves and commanded peace to come, and peace came. So he dealt with it using his authority. Jonah could have used authority all day long and his situation wouldn't have changed, because the solution to his problem was not authority, it was repentance. And sometimes we want to rebuke our way out of disobedience and it don't work. So all we have to do is just recognize the storm we're in. Did I do something stupid? If I do, how many of you know we all do something stupid from time to time? There's none of us that hadn't said anything that we wish we hadn't said sometimes, right? But then what we have to say is, okay, do I need to make an adjustment? Is there something over here? And here's the thing. God loves us enough. We don't have to wonder, is this my problem or is this something I did or is this the enemy? You'll know. Jonah had no doubt that it was his, the problem was because of him. It's the same with us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We got the Word of God inside of us. We know. There's times where I've said something, maybe I said something to my kids, or maybe I said something to my wife, and it was a little bit sharp. How many of you know, as soon as those words escape from my lips, I know. Right? If you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, He's going to direct you. So now, this one I'll throw in just for fun. So you got storms that come because of our disobedience, storms that come because the enemy's trying to get us off track. I think we can see another storm, and that is storms that other people cause in my life. I didn't do anything, but they did something that impacted me. Okay. You know, people in relationships, one person can do something that impacts the relationship. In business, one partner can do something that impacts the business, right? You're driving down the road, somebody playing on the phone hits you. They impacted you, but you were just driving. Okay. So situations like that, that happen. From a biblical perspective, the Apostle Paul got arrested and he was being shipped to Rome. And so he was on the boat. And before they were getting ready to leave, in his spirit, see, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he'll direct us and guide us. And so he says, he told the captain of the ship, now he's a prisoner. He told the captain of the ship, he said, I perceive that we should not go on this trip because it will be with hurt and much damage, not only for the ship, but potentially for our lives are in danger. And the Bible says that the captain believed the other people on the ship more than he listened to Paul. This is a side note, but if you got somebody like Paul in your life, you better listen. Sometimes we can take somebody else's advice and it's going to mess us up. And that's exactly what happened to them. Well, then they launch out. And then, of course, they have a big storm. And it's two weeks. They didn't eat for 2 weeks because of the severity of the storm. And it was black, pitch black. Okay, imagine being in a situation rocking nonstop, no sleeping, everybody not feeling well. If you've ever been on a boat that's rocking severely, it's not fun. Well, Paul prayed for the ship, for the prisoners, and then he had a word from God that says there will be no loss of life. I'm going to spare. And it's, the language is interesting because Paul says, there stood by me this night an angel of God whom I serve. And he said to me, there'll be no loss of life on the ship, but only the ship. So in other words, the ship's going to be destroyed, but nobody's life. And he says, then the angel of God said to him, I have given you everyone on the ship. Which says to me that Paul asked for everyone on the ship. He says, I've heard you. I've given you everybody on the ship. No loss of life. Now, the ship's going to be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I love Paul, too, because his humanity comes out. Because Paul says, look, all right, everybody? He gets everybody together. And he says, y'all should have listened to me when I told y'all not to sail. But there stood by me this night an angel of God whom I love, whom I serve. And he said, there'd be no loss of life. So take heart, right? And so the ship was saved. Now, here's the deal. Paul didn't do anything to create the storm. There's nothing said that the devil was behind it. But there was people that made a decision that impacted his life. But even in the midst of people making dumb decisions, God's hand was still with Paul and saved lives in the midst of other people causing problems. So God can turn messes around that have impacted you that other people have caused. Okay. But then I have to follow his path, right? I have to stay on his path. And Paul didn't have a choice about being on that ship or not. He had to be on the ship, right? He was a prisoner. He was being shipped to Rome. And so I'll leave you with this last scripture, which kind of goes along with this fourth point. His path is not always easy, but it brings the greatest personal fulfillment, greatest favor and blessing. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. So I can trust God to deliver me if I stay on the right path. Amen. And so we'll talk about more about being on that path, how to respond when the path gets difficult, and the blessings that come as a result of choosing God's path. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.